Welcome back, WNST, Towson Baltimore and Baltimore Positive. We are positively in beautiful Honey Go, sort of White Marsh, sort of Perry Hall. They call it Honey Go. It used to just be a dead-end road when I lived in Perry Hall. They have a beautiful Wise Markets up here. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I have whole strips of Maryland Lottery tickets here. I've got the Unwrap the Cash, the Peppermint Payouts. I've been giving these little O-snaps away for a buck. Tom Kelso's here from the Maryland Stadium Authority. We've been talking Stadium for Dummies. We have a deal. We believe we have a deal. We're talking about all elements. So I use the bathroom between breaks, and I'm giving away tickets. And you know, first things first, when the guy says, "Are you Nestor?" I'm wondering whether the answer should be yes, no. Would it matter if I say yes? So I get that because we are up here. So we had some listeners. So big appreciation to Bob. I hope he won. Then I give one of these to a lady. She looks at me. She's like, "Are these last year's tickets? Are you giving me last year?" I'm like, "What? They still smell like peppermint and gingerbread." So the public loves me up here. Window Nation, 866-90-NATION. You buy two, you get two free. 0% financing. I'm in the market for doors. Santa, I need a door. I hope Window Nation can make that happen for me. Also, Jiffy Lube Multicare. My oil change light is... my oil! Got to get changed. So I'm going to go over to Merritt Boulevard and do that. Could have done that the other day up in Lutherville, but I did not. This week at WNSC, if you hear Michael Braun Fine from Curio Wellness or Wendy, you hear Gina Schock from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame from the Go-Go's, as well as Drew Westervelt from Hex talking about how to get all the stink out of all of my hot yoga gear and your lacrosse gear. All that's going to be happening. Tom Kelso is our guest right now. We're at we're also going to have crab cakes here today. We're going to have kielbasa and sauerkraut at Wise. And the executive director of the Maryland Lottery is going to be very heartened by the fact that people think I'm handing out fake tickets at Wise Markets and Honey Go. John Martin will be here a little later on as well. A lot of this money is lottery generated, right? Like this, where this money comes from. Explain where all this money comes from that you, Westmore, you know, everybody's just giving money away to billionaires. This money comes from lottery funding. It comes from bonds. Explain $1.2 billion so Joe Sixpack, who's celebrating Christmas out there, trying to put their nickels together to get themselves a free ham on the Wise Reward app. Where does all this money come from that benefits billionaires? And when the Ravens thing came out last week, I'm like, let's see, we're giving them money and they're going to charge us more to go to the top level. I have to make sense of it. I love sports as much as anyone, but I do feel like maybe this is money that could build a school or help the police or build a bridge. I don't know. Where does this money come from, Tom?
Well, Nestor, what you just said is certainly the same questions that the governor and the legislature were asking me back in 2020 and 2021 when we first started to surface the idea of the stadium funding.
We already have a stadium. Let them go play in it, right?
Exactly.
A little bit of that. Okay.
Exactly. And, you know, there's no shortage of needs and wants across the state. From, you know, various jurisdictions, from Prince George's County, Montgomery County, to Baltimore City, to Eastern Shore, Western Maryland, Southern Maryland. Everybody has needs and wants. And so every dollar that goes to sports funding is a dollar that can't go to someplace else in the short run. So the short answer to your question is that the Stadium Authority issues bonds that are backed by money coming from the Maryland Lottery. So when somebody buys a bond issued from the Stadium Authority that's a stadium-related bond, is that they know that there is a special allocation from the Maryland State Lottery Fund every year that goes from the lottery fund to the Stadium Authority to service the debt on the bonds that are issued.
I'm going to talk to John Martin about that a little later on, too, because it is fascinating.
Will you tell John I said thank you for them?
Well, I also there were people in here buying lottery tickets. The bathroom's on the other side, and I saw a woman who was buying lottery tickets in there. I'm thinking people buy lottery tickets all the time. I pimp the lottery. We tell people play responsibly. Don't stick these. By the way, I had a minor over here, 18 or else, with these tickets. So, and that's an important stocking stuffer thing that John's going to be stomping his foot about. But they work hard to create revenue, right?
Absolutely.
And that revenue is for the greater good and for education, for different things.
That's correct.
But sports teams are important. I mean, I've been doing this a long. I mean, I was here pining away for Give Baltimore the Ball to get the stadium built, to get the team here, to give them more money. So when I saw all of the videos and the plans last week at a press conference I was banned from, so I want to point that out. Thank you, Sashi. What did you think of that? I watched the 25-minute press conference. I thought there was something. There was one of the snarkiest things I've ever heard, that the beer is colder and the hot dogs are tastier inside the perimeter. There's a lot of premium and a lot of perimeter going on in that press conference. I felt like they're not in touch in that way, but they're in touch with the rich person that's going to pay $20 for a beer or want to be in their Goldbird, Blackbird club. I saw all this stuff and I thought, all right, is that getting me to the game earlier? Is it making me stay later? Is it making me come on set? I don't know. And I'm getting older. I'm getting phased out, as you can tell. But I'm excited that they're going to have a world-class facility, because I've been to Oakland. I've been to places where – I've been to Tampa, to the baseball stadium down there. You know, I've been to places where it feels subpar. It doesn't need to feel like Dallas to me or Vegas. It doesn't need to feel like that experience. But it needs to feel like – it's current and it's relevant, and since Memorial Stadium, we haven't felt that here, unless you go somewhere else to feel something that's not good, right?
Well, obviously, we started to get spoiled when Oriole Park opened up at Camden Yards, and all of a sudden, we had the most unique baseball stadium in the entire country, and I remember going to pick out my seats, before opening day, and just being awed by this incredible building that was ours and that our Orioles were going to play there. And
it changed downtown.
It changed our community.
Downtown. But I called it our Gateway Arch, is what I call it.
It really is. There's no question. And it still is. It needs reinvestment, but it still is. And to go back to the funding, is that the way the stadium funding bill works is that the highlight number is $1.2 billion, but the $1.2 is really a bond limit. So the most, the largest amount of bonds that can be outstanding at any one point in time for either team is $600 million.
So this $480 that happened last week for the Ravens is short of what
they could have gotten.
Okay.
And they still might go back and be able to get more. They would just have to extend the lease for longer than it is already set
15
for.
15 years, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And so, and the way the stadium funding bill works is that the teams, as the bonds are paid down, the teams can come back and redraw that money, or the teams and the MSA can redraw that money, and additional investments can be made so that you're not doing it once every 30 years. You may be doing improvements, significant improvements, once every 10 years, so that the stadiums are constantly upgraded. The only caveats is that the lease has to be as long as the longest outstanding bond. So every time the teams come back and want more investment, you have to extend the underlying lease. So it's a self-perpetuating lease extension, if you will. Every time the teams want reinvestment money in the stadium, the lease is extended again. And then the money that services the debt is $90 million that's appropriated annually from the Lottery General Fund that goes to the Stadium Authority, that's split 45 and 45. So there's up to $45 million to service bonds at Oriole Park and up to $45 million to service bonds issued for M&T Bank Stadium. So the teams have equal access to money, just maybe not equal outcomes, right? Because they'll use it the way that they think it's best to generate more economic activity. One team might be more successful than the other. We can't guarantee that, but we were able to guarantee both teams had equal access to money, equal amounts, and what we call economic parity at the stadiums.
Tom Kelso's here, former Maryland Stadium Authority chairman. We have a deal. There's orange plumes of smoke billowing out of the warehouse. It's actually, we're recording this on the day it all happened, so we're trying to work through this. I'm trying to ask you new questions because we covered so much ground, and I don't want to be reiterative any more than we need to be. This is sort of new, but how unique is this? To what I see out in Inglewood with Kroenke stealing the team and going out there and teams being stolen in places. I watch the Oilers put on Oiler gear in Tennessee, and they're going to build all new thing down in Nashville for themselves. But this Stadium Authority thing where, like, I go up to Philadelphia, there's a football stadium, a baseball stadium, there's a hockey rink. I don't know about the Philadelphia Sports Authority or the Pennsylvania Sports Authority or the I don't know how any of these other municipalities put this together, but it's always felt to me, and because I'm 55, I watched the Colts leave at 15. I watched Governor Schaefer try to put something like a Stadium Authority together. I watched Stedman fight from the inside at the paper as to whether the stadium was going to be at Port Covington or downtown or Columbia, Maryland, which was also,
sure,
built it on 95. Build it in Catonsville. There was a thought to put the whole complex down where UMBC is, right?
Sure.
So we're going back a ways, back into the 80s, but I've been in media for 39 years, whether Chad Steele admits that or not. So I know all of this stuff. But it's felt unique to me because the baseball stadium happened, and it was our gateway arch, and then we pine for the football team. But I've often said, because the baseball stadium thing was so awesome, so big league, it lured the football team. And John Moe could sit here, or the ghost of John could sit here and probably say, you're probably right about that. If I had to go steal a football team, we didn't have a baseball team, we wouldn't have had the success of having Camden Yards. And to say to Art Modell or to the NFL or to Al Davis, George Afrani, anybody who's thinking about moving here, we're going to build you a football version of that baseball stadium. Look, I don't think Tagliabue was happy about coming to town, but he knew the state had money to build a palace and right, that would get Cincinnati, Cleveland,
we showed
Pittsburgh,
people that we could do it.
It got all the rest of them built.
Right.
So this structure of a stadium authority and this balance of money and power and all the things that John tried to sort of upset the apple cart the last 6 months as to how this has worked for 40 years. Does anybody else have a functioning thing like this that you, for 8 years, looked at and said, this is the way they do it, not in Texas or Florida, but this is the way they did it in Ohio or somewhere else, to say this is the right way to do it, because they didn't do it right in Missouri. They didn't do it right in California. Where they're losing teams, they're not doing it right.
Well, there are different versions of stadium authorities where there are publicly funded and owned stadiums across the country. But what Maryland created was something unique to Maryland. It, everything in Maryland, where you've got 23 counties plus Baltimore City, when you get to the legislature, everything is some sort of a negotiation. And so, everybody had to be comforted to understand is that not only were we going to put public money in and build a baseball stadium, but that it was going to be maintained, owned, operated, and reinvested in over time appropriately. And so it was this idea of the creation of the Stadium Authority that stands in the shoes of the taxpayers that I think put people from outside Baltimore City, it gave them the comfort to know that this great state investment in 1986 to 1990 or 1991 to get the stadium built, that it was going to be worthwhile and that it was going to be run appropriately and taken care of appropriately.
But if it's not, this is when we lose the baseball team.
Well,
if Camden Yards is a hole that fell apart,
correct,
in the way that, I don't know, name a stadium that fell apart in the last 30. I mean, it's probably not hard to do. Places that have been, Turner Field,
Sure, Turner Field is gone. The baseball stadium in Tampa is about that generation. I mean, these are stadiums that are out of date, if they were ever in date, and are gone today. And so municipalities...
But that's how you lose your team, when you run a stadium poorly.
That you have to reinvest more frequently in larger amounts than you would have if you'd have just done it right in the first place. And, one of the things that I heard from the press conference last week that the Ravens did is that they're able to do these things at M&T Bank Stadium today in what is, a stadium that was opened in 1998. So a stadium that's 24, 25 years old when these improvements are done, they're able to do these level of improvements because the stadium was built and maintained as well as it has been. So, what we've done over the past 25 years positions you to be able to do what you're going to do now that's viable over the next 10 or 15 years. And then you'll keep doing it. And you, we don't ever want to get in a situation where the teams, the stadiums get in such bad condition that the teams are unhappy, they're talking about leaving, and that the taxpayers have to step up at a rate much greater than they should have to. So $1.2 billion sounds like a lot, right? But it's not $2.5 billion of building two brand new stadiums, right? It's half that. So, you know, you can continue to extend the useful life of what you have if you continue to invest in it appropriately.
What did you make of the Ravens announcement last week and what their plans are?
If it makes you feel better, what? I wasn't invited either.
Well, that's fine. Touche. The notion that they're doing this club and this breathing area and they're widening all of these things, I'm sure when you were with Dick Cass when he was running the team, John, in his mind, probably has an idea, if he thinks he's going to run the team the next year, of what they want to do. The Ravens had a plan for this all along, right?
The Ravens had a plan for this all along, right? And
it really speaks to the differences between the two franchises, as well as where we're here fighting over money that might be money. Meanwhile, the Ravens are putting a shovel in the ground the minute the AFC Championship game's over.
Well, that's correct. So the reason that they wanted to get their lease done, ideally by 1 year ago right now, and we did it January 4th of 2023, is that they wanted to move quickly so that as soon as the season is done in January of 2024, hopefully not too soon, but whatever it is that the shovels go in the ground the very next day.
Phase one, right?
Phase one.
Right.
So timing of these things is incredibly important because it takes about a year's worth of architectural work, engineering work, planning work, and then stadium authority running procurements in order to get contractors, et cetera.
It's always cheaper to do it last year than it will be next year, too.
Well, it's
that's another thing, right? That's
another thing.
Right.
But you have it takes about a year of planning and execution to get to the point where you can put that shovel in the ground. So what they laid out last week is what's going to start happening in January. But they already knew in their minds basically what this list of potential upgrades was going to be. They just had to do the design and engineering work in order to be ready to start the work this year.
I don't have access to ask them questions anymore, but if I did, I'd say, how is this really going to help the bottom line? I mean, are you going to take a $200 ticket guy and make him a $300? Like, their tickets were $3 last week and nobody wanted to go. The part for me with the stadiums that I have a real fundamental problem, if I were the one paying for it, and I guess I am, we all are, right? Like, we're paying.
Well, if you buy lottery tickets, you are.
Well, even if you don't, somebody else is, and it is. So right. It is what it is. I would say that the common man has been sort of left behind in all of this to some degree, and there is sort of a wall of cost to entry and then cost to be in there and have a beer once you're in there, and all of those thoughts. I didn't get the public part of it. Like, when I go to New England and I see the mall there and I see movie theaters there and I see people there at other times, I have pitched you, and I will do this to the governor and anybody else, John, anybody that sits in front of me. What's the idea? If the big idea is a disco and a bar and a band, we have all of that already, right? I mean, there's a casino down the street trying to figure that out two blocks away. I still think about the big idea. And I also think with sports and my sort of wane over 55 years of it as a citizen, just as a citizen, to look at it and say, you're starting your game at 6:30. How early are you going to get people there? Your games are on Sunday at 1 o'clock. People going to forego church to come to your bar at 9 a.m. and drink $20 beers? The notion of breaking
up... If it's a Notre Dame game, the answer is yes, right?
Broken up... Well, they're trying to break the tailgate model with the guys that were on the stage talking about better hot dogs and colder beer inside the perimeter and all that. But I still think to myself, and I think this when I go to European soccer games where they don't have skyboxes and all that, dude, I'm here 2 hours. I mean, I'm not... It's not a hotel room. It's not. It's not an experience. You know, it's a before, during, and after. And I know what CFG Bank is doing with their bar. Hey, stay. Come early. Hang out in the club. Stay late after the show. Avoid traffic. And I'll hear all of that to some degree. But all of that's available in the club. The club level of the stadium is beautiful. I mean, of both stadiums right now. Like if you go to either one, the baseball stadium's. It's been 30 years. Been a little while since they fixed it, but it's still like. A very comfortable, you feel like you're somewhere. When I'm in the club level at an Oreo game, I feel like I'm somewhere. I feel like a rich guy, even though I just walk
well,
up.
You are somebody, right? You'll what? Always be somebody.
No, but I'm saying when you're there, it already, the club level at Ravens Stadium's beautiful. I don't know how, you could charge me $100 more, $100 less. It's still really nice. They're making more nice stuff. I just don't understand. It's great to brag about it, and you can sell the sizzle of all of it. But I'm trying to. You're spending $480 million. Are we really going to get more people there earlier or later or leaving more money? That's where I scratch my head as an entrepreneur and ask that question for the excess of it all, just as a human for excess, you know?
Well, stadiums in the United States, you know, tend to be going to the showy, more excess type of things. So I remember when the Ravens wanted permission to be able to put their own money, $125 million, into the stadium to increase the size of the video boards and to create those video boards and the notches up in the corners of the upper deck. What that was primarily to appeal to people who are doing video sports. Right, they want to be able to check stats. They want to be able to see scores.
They said it was about fantasy, but it was about gambling.
It's about fantasy on its way to gambling, right?
Yeah.
Because it's no secret that gambling was coming, right? But that's what was required in order to be able to do that.
Keeping up with the Jerry Joneses.
It's keeping up. Well, it's really making sure that people who care about that stuff. Instead of staying home or going to a sports book,
sure.
We'll get in their car, go to the stadium, and go inside the stadium and watch the game. And so TV has changed professional sports dramatically. And what's going on in TV today with cable, people, you know, disconnecting from cable and going to streaming, you know, that's a model that is really NFL struggling with it, but Major League Baseball is really struggling with it. So Masson is a cable network. So, you know, as the number of people that are connected to the cable continue to go down, then the amount of revenue that's generated from TV through cable connection goes down. And Major League Baseball, like professional football, has to find a way to get games streamed to people and find a way to charge them for it. So all of professional sports, even though we think it's all highly successful and money-driven and everybody's a bazillionaire, is that sports are constantly changing.
Oh, the tectonic plates under the business model
are shifting dramatically. And in my experience with both John Angelos and with Dick Cass and Sashi Brown and Steve Bisciotti is that they're both working all the time mentally. They're all working mentally about this idea of where do we need to be in the future. So what we do today isn't necessarily just for today. It's to make sure that 3-5 years from now is that they're in a place where they think they need to go. And they're getting information from Major League Baseball or the NFL. You know, they're not all just operating in a vacuum and trying to make it all up themselves. Is that there are best practices, there are studies, you know, and information that they have access to. So, you know, the Stadium Authority's job is to be a partner. Right, we want them there. We want them to be successful. And in order to be successful, we want them to win. We need them to have the financial tools in order to win. And to the extent that a stadium can help them do that, that's the job of the Stadium Authority. And that's why the stadium funding bill was so critical, because it allowed the Stadium Authority to really become an ongoing partner with the teams to make sure that we could continue to put money to work as the sports continued to change.
Well, I don't think there's any doubt that it brings people together like nothing else does, right? Like, and we're and you feel that galvanization with 11-3 football team. You felt that with 101 wins,
yeah, absolutely.
And the pain of losing in Arlington and what that's going to mean for Craig Kimbrell and whatever we're going to do around here. Tom Kelso's here. He loves sports too. A former Maryland Stadium Authority chair. So are we done now? Or you go back to being Tom in Hunt Valley now? Or like what happens from your role? And are you satisfied in regard to? I would think you're proud of yourself, and it probably this was not a very easy thing for you to be the whistleblower, the outspoken person, the person that provides color for all the answers. Where I'm not getting that from Wes Moore, I'm not getting that from Craig Thompson. Is this chapter closed a little bit for you?
Well, I mean, you said it earlier. Is that I spent 8 years while I was chairman trying not to be in the media, and you know, I was really kind of thrust into this position, not because I wanted to be in the media, but because I knew that people needed to understand this better, and because I had conceived of the stadium funding bill and got that passed, because I had negotiated the Ravens lease, got that done and approved, and because I had worked with John Angelos for 4 years and knew pretty much what John Angelos was thinking, I knew that I was basically the only person not on the inside that had all this information and could articulate it to people in a way that I thought that maybe they could grasp and understand some very complex subjects. And so I was kind of thrust into this because I'm passionate about it, because I care about the taxpayers, I care about this being done right. And, you know, I feel like we have come a long way from where we were back in the early summer, from back when the MOU was issued in September. We've come a long way. I still want to read the documents when they become public. I still, you know, may have some commentary about, hey, you know, there's some tweaks here, or some other things that maybe we still need to go back and take a look at. But today, I feel really good that we've come a long way with the help of, I think the media has done a phenomenal job. Nestor, you've done a phenomenal job. The Sun, the Banner, Maryland Matters.
My role is
Baltimore
people.
It's
like,
to inform
at
people.
At the end of the day, for all the bluster and all this stuff, I have an FCC license, right?
Yep.
That I serve the community and you'll see what I'm doing Radio Row Week to serve the community as well. We're putting together the biggest promotion we've ever done. But ill-informed citizens at every level, politically, educationally, sports-wise, in any way, that's where I've always tried to fill that gap by saying, I know someone that's an expert about that.
You know, absolutely.
And I'm going to ask them real questions and not take any BS about it. And when it comes to the Angelos family and now what I've dealt with in regard to the football team not taking questions and kind of running and hiding and playing games, I'm extremely disappointed by their own self-checks. You know what I mean? The fact that a communications guy could throw me out from asking questions on his own at a whim is insane. The baseball thing has played for 30 years, but I've said this, and I've said this since the last time you were on. I'm starting to smell that something else is going to happen. I'm 55. Steve's publicly said he's not going to own the team forever, so there's going to be, at some point, his kids aren't going to own the team. And the Angelo situation, where you talk about when all this gets done 5, 8, 10 years from now, whenever the little city that Camden Yards is going to be, the football gold stuff that they're building, when all that happens, there very well will be at least one new owner, if not two. Well, and these are really about the entities themselves and not about how wealthy the Angeloses or the Bishottis are going to get. But there should come a point from the taxpayers to say, y'all are doing okay. You bought the team for $150 million. You could sell it for $2 billion. There's only so much that we should be doing for you above and beyond you selling tickets.
I think that when you get to the idea of a development agreement, okay, that's where, you know, that really has to be examined very closely, because no matter what happens there, the state will always be there. We own it. So that, you can't just give it to somebody else or lease it to them for a de minimis amount and walk away, because if bad things happen, you still own it. If a stadium is not well maintained, you still own it. The taxpayers have that financial responsibility to upgrade it. And so I've always looked at this and said, look, the only permanent party on the Camden Yards complex is the Maryland Stadium Authority and the state of Maryland, and because of its location, Baltimore City. The team owners will come and go, and that the lease agreements, they have to be not...
That's hard to say because they haven't come and gone, right? In our last 30 years,
they have not.
Feels like they're here for, like they're kings,
but they're not. But they're not.
They're not,
And if you look over the last 10, 12 years in Major League Baseball, there's six teams that have changed ownership, and it looks like San Diego is going to change ownership again. So, you know, teams are changing ownership more frequently, and so what we have to do is that we have to make sure that our agreements with teams are agnostic as to who the owner is, right? Because it shouldn't be unique to an owner. It should be unique to the state, and the owners will come and go, and we're going to be their partner, but it can't just be unique to John Angelos or unique to Steve Bisciotti, because somebody else is going to stand in their shoes and may want to do different things. And that's why we need things that are dynamic, and you need an authority that can deal with that. And, you know, I think that's where we are. And I feel, you know, fairly good that we're getting there in the Oriole lease today.
I'm going to release you from your... I feel like we're at the end, but only the beginning, because I'm going to come back and follow up with you when all this is done. But happy Christmas to you. Look, you're at the supermarket.
Yeah,
there's no
absolutely.
Excuse to not leave here without a ham and some sauerkraut and kielbasa. Tom Kelso, former Maryland Stadium Authority chairman here, trying to go through all of your concerns, all the realities of it. And I... You know, if I think of, like, if you weren't here today, who could I ask that would have this institutional knowledge? I mean, I don't know who second place would be. I mean, literally, I mean, you're a wealth of information about all of this. And I've had people from the governor down try to shoot holes at your information. And I'm thinking to myself, no. I've sat with bullshitters, you know, for a long time. I mean, no. Like, the fact that you didn't get paid to do this, the fact that you're still here today, still a part of all of this, just speaks to how important it is to you. And
I wish
everything were this important to everybody who stands at the charge of something where there's a lot of money and a lot of power, and people have written to me about your integrity, and I'm thinking to myself, man,
I have no upside, right? I'm not trying to accomplish anything other than trying to get good public policy done.
Sure.
And I'm going to be really happy to go back into my quiet life.
Next time you see me, it'll be over a beer and a crab cake somewhere at a game.
Exactly. And but I appreciate everything you've done, and I appreciate
you
allowing some sunlight to be put on this stuff. And I think that because of it is that you know, with the governor's leadership and John Angelos' leadership, we've gotten to a better place. And that's where I think it's ultimately important.
All right. This is a real deal, right? We're not going to wake up and find...
Well, I'll be back here next week if it's not a real deal.
All right, well...
It's a real deal. I have been reassured it is.
The hardest part of all of this has been the false alarms, right? Like, to the point where, like, I'm sitting there watching the game that night in September and sending the governor congratulatory texts.
Well, I have felt a lot of compassion and empathy with the sports fans, because they don't have the background and knowledge that I have or you have, is that, you know, they're just reading somebody's synopsis in the newspaper or on a Instagram or something like that, maybe listening to you. They don't know everything that you know or I know. And, you know, this was never about the Orioles leaving. It was just about the terms and conditions under which they were going to stay. And, so if you just ask the average fan on the street, you know, do you want the Orioles to sign a new lease? Everybody say, yeah, we want to sign a new lease. But would you want to do it under some of the terms and conditions that were proposed? Most people would say no, if there's a better option. And that's what I was pushing for, is to get a better option, to get things that work better for the taxpayers. That's all I cared about. All I care about.
All right. Well, the Maryland Lottery funds a lot of this, and for being our guest on the program, Tom Kelso's going to get a peppermint payout. I got peppermint payouts. I got to unwrap the cash. I got O-snaps, and these smell like gingerbread. Our friends at the Maryland Lottery put this thing on with us. John Martin's going to be here. We're Wise Markets. Window Nation, 866-90-NATION. I got the wacky hat. Don't forget about the doors. Certainly, I'm not going to. I hope Santa's going to buy me doors. Give me doors. Sorry about that. Santa doesn't buy. He gets elves doing that. Also, our friends at Jiffy Lube MultiCare. I'm going to be getting my oil changed as well. Raskin Global provides this for when I say goodbye to guests. This is my Richard Scherer square off that we're going to allow Tom Kelso to be adjourned, but I'm going to come back here from Wise Markets. Derek Frazier's here. He's the manager of this store at Wise Unigo. Former professional wrestler, has toured the world. We're talking about his time in Japan and being a wrestler. We're going to talk about Dave the Wave, my buddy who was a referee, as well as Axel Rotten and a whole bunch of wrestling stuff. We're also going to wrestle around with sauerkraut and kielbasa. We have crab cakes coming here. They are the signature crab cakes from Wise. They're delicious. They're even better when they're served on a shrimp as a stuffed shrimp crab cake. They're going to serve those to me today because I'm special and they like me at Wise Markets. I'm appreciative of that. John Martin's going to be here. He's not bringing lottery tickets. He's going to laugh when that lady... He yelled at me, "Are these last year's tickets?" No, they're legitimate. Do I look illegitimate? Don't answer that.
I didn't know there was something called a last year's ticket.
I know my hair's long. I was just trying to be legitimate. My thanks to Tom Kelso for stopping by. The Maryland Crab Cake Tour is moving on. We'll be at Fadley's next Wednesday. And Merry Christmas. We're back for more from Wise Markets. We're going to talk wrestling, supermarkets, and the proper way to serve green bean casserole during the holidays. Stay with us.